Okay, so I don't usually send out Svaria source sheets, but we'll see how it goes. We'll try it different ways. I don't know. Okay, so let's recap what we saw yesterday. So we started with a small passage in the Gemara from Daf Lamed Bet, where we have the conversation between the Malachim and God, and the Malachim challenge God, and they propound the thesis that on Rosh Hashanah the Jews should be doing what? They should be saying Hallel, presumably because it is a holiday, right? And that is, in general, when we say Hallel, on days that there is Simcha. How many days do we say Hallel on, by the way? According to the Gemara?
18
in Eretz Yisrael and 21 in Chutz La'aretz. Rosh Chodesh is a minhag, going back to the time of the Gemara, but it's a minhag, hence the machloket between the Ashkenazi world of Pesach, mostly in the Sephardi world of Pesach, as to whether you say a bracha for Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, though many briskers also don't say a bracha before Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, following the position of the Rambam. And we noted that God then rejects it, and he says, no, they don't say Hallel because it's the time of Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Metim Petuchin Lefanav. And we noted that there's basically two main ways, maybe two and a half ways, of understanding the flow of the Gemara here. On the one hand, you might say that the Hava Mina, or the position instantiated or personified, I guess, better here by the Malachim, is that there is a mitzvah of Simcha, and a mitzvah of Simcha necessarily entails Hallel. God's response can either be, there is no mitzvah of Simcha, and therefore we maintain the conceptual link between Simcha and Hallel, but reject the application of Simcha to Rosh Hashanah, or we maintain the belief that there is Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, but we say that not every time that there is Simcha is there Hallel, and then we sort of subdivided in two different ways of interpreting that, either by saying that you need unmitigated joy, and Rosh Hashanah is mitigated joy, or to formulate it slightly differently, and I think it was Yehonatan, was it you who suggested this yesterday as an exception from the outside, that normally that joy of any sort does entail Hallel, but Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Metim is unique, and based on Ezra's point yesterday, we clarified that it doesn't seem to be Yom HaDin per se, because there are other Yomei Din in the year, Sukkot being one example. It seems to be specifically the type of Din, the type of trepidation that accompanies Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Adam, you're muted, so you're going to have to unmute yourself before you talk. Yeah.
How do we get 18 days of Hallel?
18 days of Hallel. So the mission of the Gemara in Erech and Daf Yud outlines that it's 7 days of Sukkot B'Shemini Atzeret, 1 day of Shavuot, right? 1 day of Pesach, and 8 days of Hanukkah, right, is 18, right? Because because Chol HaMoed and the last day of Pesach are also not Mekar Hadin. It's not clear whether those are the same status of Rosh Chodesh or not. They're not the same status as Sukkot and the first day of Pesach, but they may also not be the status of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore there are many Rishonim who, even though they paskin like the Rambam, that you don't say a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, you do say a bracha on Hallel on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the reason that the Gemara says we don't say a full Hallel on Chol HaMoed Pesach, or the last day, is because on Sukkot there's a different Karban every day, and therefore each day of Sukkot is an independent Chag. And in Pesach, that's not true, right? In Pesach, you bring the same carbon every day. So that's the 18. The 21 is obviously second day of Shavuot, second day of Pesach, second day of Sukkot. And then you have all the days of Chol HaMoed and the last day of Pesach and Rosh Chodesh, where there's a minhag to say Hallel. But again, it's a different level, and they may be two different levels from each other, and then obviously all the days when post-Talmud, where we may or may not say Hallel. Maybe we'll talk about the halachic argumentation behind like Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim later in the year, which is a derivative of Purim and Hanukkah, but it's a bit of a complicated sugya that we can get to then. But that's the 18, simply speaking, right? So again, 7 days of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, 1 day of Pesach, 1 day of Shavuot, and 8 days of Hanukkah. Okay. So that's where we stood yesterday. And then we noted that in order to fill out the conversation, we need to note that there is this dialogue in the 8th parak of Nehemiah, where the Jews, in response to Ezra's reading the Torah and the subsequent tshuva, presumably, they are crying. And Nehemiah says, don't cry, go and eat. Send food, manot le'nachon lo, send food to people who need food. What pshat is there, who knows? We'll see several interpretations, right? The Gemara in Beitza suggests that it means send food to people who haven't made an Erev Tavshilin. The simple pshat, I would assume, means poor people. Though, as we'll see, at least one mefarish is going to say no. The machloket between the people and Nehemiah is the machloket that we'll see about fasting Rosh Hashanah. And Nehemiah is paskening that you don't fast on Rosh Hashanah and saying all those people who thought you should fast on Rosh Hashanah, they were wrong, but now they don't have food prepared, send it to them, which is going to be part of the discussion that we'll see. And this is, you know, gets complicated when you start reading machlokot Rishonim backed into Nehemiah. But that didn't stop the Rishonim, so we will... So we'll take it there. So that's where we stood yesterday. The Rishonim, as I said, who most frontally dealt with this, so this is dealt with in the Gaonim, but the Rush has this summary. Now, the Rush himself is summarizing a long tradition in the German Rishonim. He's starting with the Ravya. And you'll find similar pieces to this in the Rush, in the Mordechai, in the Haggot Maimoni. Pretty much everywhere. You want the original, it's in the Ravya. You can look in the Ravya. But we'll suffice with one or two of the treatment in the Rishonim. Okay. Before we look at the Rush, so let's just talk this out methodologically. So as we laid out yesterday, right, there's two conceptual models that we are working with in terms of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah, right, which is, in the end of the day, what is the Gemara telling us, right? By saying that Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Metim Petuchim Lefanav, and therefore there's no Hallel, is that a rejection of the notion that there's Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, and maybe also a rejection that it's a Chag, or something like that? Or is it a localized rejection of Hallel, but in fact we maintain that there is a Chag component, a Simcha component, to Rosh Hashanah? Now, whenever you have this, so you can lead of it as, you know, conceptual models, but the best way to test conceptual models is looking for implications, right? Now, in Aramaic, an implication is a nafka mina, which literally means what? Or a nafka mina, if you would like.
Difference.
So it doesn't mean difference, right? It literally means, right? That's what it means, but what does it mean, right? Nafak is to go out, mina, from it, meaning that which emerges from this, meaning an implication, right, a result. And therefore the plural of nafka mina is, not nafka minot, but, yes, Gavi? Nafke mina, right, nafke mina, that which clump, plural, you've heard this from me before, that those things which come out from it, meaning the point is that the plural is on the first word. There are more than one thing that come out mina from that same point, right? Nafke mina, yotze mize, right? Things that come out. That's conceptually, just think about that, right? If you want to use it improperly grammatically and call it nafke mina, I don't really care. But I want you to understand that the word, right, is nafke mina. There are multiple things that emerge from this conceptual point. Okay, so the Rush, as you've read it, outlines two conceptual implications that he links. that emerge from the nature of Rosh Hashanah? What are the two conceptual points, or the two implications that he tests the question of the nature of Rosh Hashanah with? Right, what's he talking about? He's talking about two different things. Right? There are two halachot that the Rosh is discussing that both test the case, the question of what is the nature of Rosh Hashanah. Does it have simcha? Is it a chag? All those related points. What are they?
Fasting and the blowing of the shofar?
So fasting is one. The other is? It's not blowing of the shofar. We obviously blow the shofar. That's a pasuk.
Is it sending food?
Well, that's related to the fasting point. It was actually how we started, which is very, very simple, which is, what is the language of tefillah on Rosh Hashanah? Do you include the phrase?
Moed or not?
Yes. Do you include the phrase in tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, Moadin l'simcha? Right? And normally in Musaf, we say Moadin l'simcha, Chagim usmanin l'sason. And the Rosh was dealing with the question, does that language fit on Rosh Hashanah? Those are the two conceptual questions that bothered the Rosh. Okay? So, and as we'll see, right, the Rosh is going to take the position that, and again, he doesn't invoke our Gemara, though that seems to be this obvious one, right? What position is the Rosh going to stake out?
That it's neither, right?
That is, the Rosh himself is going to stake out which position? He's going to quote a lot of positions to stake out the opposite, but the Rosh is going to say that we include Moadim L'Simcha and you can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. Right, the Rosh himself. Right, he summarizes many, but the Rosh himself stakes out that position. Right?
Oh, okay.
But he quotes, he starts with the Gaonic position, that that's not the case. Now, before we look at the Rosh, one more thing, which is, what piece of evidence is the Rosh, if someone wants to stake out the position that Rosh Hashanah is a Moed, is a Chag, it has Simcha, you can't fast, you should say Moedim L'Simcha, what piece of evidence, very strong piece of evidence, is he going to invoke? We saw it yesterday. Nehemiah. Right? Nehemiah. He's going to invoke Nehemiah. But he's going to do more than invoke Nehemiah. He's going to invoke the Gemara in Beitza, which itself invokes the Pasuk Nehemiah. Now, if you didn't know the Pasuk Nehemiah, you wouldn't realize what's going on in the Rosh. So let's take a moment and let's look at the Gemara in Beitza, okay? So, now, Beitza has a nickname. Right, Masechet Beitza has a nickname. What is the nickname of Masechet Beitza? Have you guys learned Beitza before?
Beis.
Not that one. Not that nickname. I knew you were going to say that one. No. So why do people call it Beya? Let's get this on the table. Why?
It's like a bad word.
Right. So people, there is this like...
It's a bad word.
Good. So I don't know where this came from exactly, but some people took, feel that Beitza is a bad word because in addition to meaning egg, right, it also refers to a part of the male anatomy, which is is the same shape. Now, they think they're solving the problem by referring to it as Beya, which is just Aramaic for egg, which I don't know why it solves the problem. It also is obviously not the name of the Masechet, and it is the only Masechet in Shas where Rabbeinu Hananel starts the Masechta with a two-line poem, which should tell you that that's not how it should be pronounced. And how does Rabbeinu Hananel start Masechet Beitza? Be'ezrat gadol ha'etza nadchil Masechet Beitza. Right? With the help of God. Gadol ha'etza, the one who has all advice, you start Beitza. It's clear that Rabbeinu Hananel pronounced it as it is written. That is not the nickname I'm referring to. The nickname that the Rishonim gave, or really you find sometimes in the Gemara, of Masechet Beitza is Masechet Yom Tov. Right, Masechet Yom Tov. Because it's not really about eggs. Right, Masechet Beitza is the Masechet that deals with the Halachot of Yom Tov. The first Perek deals with issues of Muktzah and Nolad on Yom Tov, including Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov. Right? The second Perek deals with the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov and Eruv Tavshilin. And then so on. The third parak deals with fishing and things like that. So that's where the Gemara in Beitza picks up, is that it's talking about Simchat Yom Tov, building on a conversation of Eruv Tavshilin. And the Gemara tells us a story. Okay? It's a pretty straightforward story, so we'll read through it, okay? Anyone feel like reading? It's day two. Anyone feel like reading this this story?
I'll read it.
Okay, go ahead. Gavi, I think Rami jumped in first.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Gavi, you're on. What's it called? You're on. Your video's not on, so if you raise your hand, I can't see it. So, anyways, Rami, if you want to raise your hand, either turn on your screen or do the like raise your hand in the screen or chat. But I can't see you when you're. Blonde. Yeah, okay, Rami, go. You can read. I saw you weren't. Your screen was on. Okay, go.
Just starting from top here.
Yeah, so starting from Tanur Rabbanan. Yeah.
Okay, so Tanur Rabbanan, honestly, your Amelia's or Yoshi, the Rish called me. So we remember I said that a story that Rabbi Elazar was once expounding on his or ideas all day.
Right. What day was it? Right. What type of day was it?
What
day was it?
It was Yom Tov.
Yeah, it was some Yom Tov. That's the point, right? He's having Yeshiva Yom Tov morning, which, as you guys will see, at least on Shavuot, but maybe more, right? That is how we do things at Migdal. There is Reb Ginsburg's all morning shir on Shavuot from like Hanetz until Chatzot, right? That's what he's doing. He's learning, giving shir all morning. Okay.
Right. And so he's sort of teaching a group of the first group of students sort of leaves. Amar halu bale pastin. Like he says, they must have a big barrel of food.
Right, meaning he's insulting them, right? He's going to, what you're going to see is multiple layers of insult. That is what is going to happen. He's going to insult every group that leaves, okay? So the first group leave early, and he says they must have a great Kiddush club planned. That's why they're leaving sheer early, right? That's what he says, okay?
Rabbi Ziri?
Yeah.
It's just interesting because, like, I did learn this Gemara, like, before, and, like, that's not how I, the way that I understood the Gemara, like, I didn't see, at least for this group, I didn't see that as an insult.
So it does seem to be, as you'll see later in the Gemara, that this is an insult, because the Gemara is going to ask, why is he so angry, right? But,
is he angry now, though?
It sounds like he's getting angry. It sounds like he's angry the whole time. I don't know, that's how I read it. I mean, it's possible he only gets angry later, but it sounds like he's already angry, right? People are leaving early. I don't know, I'd be angry, you know. But okay, maybe he's not angry yet. He's just stating a fact that they have a lot of food to eat. I don't know.
It sounds like he's angry, but he's still willing to give the benefit of the doubt at this point.
He's willing to say that. Maybe he's disappointed. I can't imagine he's thrilled, right? But okay, angry, disappointed. I don't know. Okay, but then he goes through this multiple times. Okay, so second group leaves. Yeah.
So Amar Alu Bale Chavivos.
Chavivos.
So the
right.
I don't know what measurement is.
It's a smaller. It's a barrel, right? As opposed to a big barrel. He said, "Oh, they're only leaving later, not because they're bigger masmidim, not because they want to learn more Torah. They just have less food, so it's going to take them less time." You know.
All right. So Kashmi Ishi. So third group leaves. Mar Alu Bale Kadim. So there's this even smaller measurement of food.
Yep.
So Kad Ravid Amar Alu Bale Gilimin. This even smaller group of food. Kad Hamishi is Amar Alu Bale Kosos. They only have like a cup of food. And so like the sixth group gets up to leave. Amar Alu Bale
Meira. They're cursed, right? Sixth group are cursed. right? Why are they cursed? Right, what's the... Right, why is he angry? Why is he so angry by the sixth group?
Because I guess they're violating his teaching.
Yeah, and like, you know, he's like, you know, it's like, on the one hand, you know, he's angry at the people who are earlier, but maybe, okay, you have a big meal, I understand why you're running out. But by the end, it's almost like, you know, there's a half hour left to shear and you're leaving me now, why? Like, you have, you know, you clearly didn't have enough food to run out early because you stayed, right? But now they're like deserting him in the last half hour of shear and he's furious. Okay. So what happens? So you have this awkward encounter where what happens? There's two groups here now. There's the people who are staying, the people who are leaving. And who does... The people who are staying, what do they think?
So not that in the Talmidim, Idhilu, Abnam, Mishanat Atim, Mishanat Nin. And so like the group of the group that they tell me, Idhilu, who stayed, turned white.
Right, because what did they think? Right, what did they think? Pause, right? What did they think? Why are they scared? The people who stayed, why are they afraid? Why do they think that Relezer is cursing them?
I mean, it would seem to me that he's just issuing a general, like, sort of, this shouting to the class, like, you're cursed.
Right, so it could be, right? Though, as we'll see in the later Gemara, it seems like it's even more than that. They are worried that at this point they're actually doing the wrong thing. Right? They think that, look, to learn from till 9 o'clock, that's one thing. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. But they think, you know, at some point, if you don't leave the Beis Medrash to go eat, you're being mavata l'mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov. So they think that Relezer is cursing them for sticking around in shir and not trying to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov. So what does he say to them? No, right? Lo lachem ani omer. Don't worry, not you. It's not the people who stayed in shir I'm yelling at, right? Continue, right? It's not you, don't worry about it. It's?
It's only for the people that left.
Right. Elu lahalalu sheyatsu shemanichem chayolam boskem chayisha. It's the people who left, and then when he actually finishes shir, so now he tells the masmidim, I want you to go home and eat. Right? And what does he quote?
Nehemiah.
Good. B'shat petiratan. When they left, Amar lahem.
So it continues.
Right? Meaning it's one big pasuk. Right? Lechu echlu mashmanim u'shtei mamtakim v'shluchu manot lein nachon lo ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu v'al te'atzvu ki chedvat Adonai hi ma'oschem. Right, the whole pasuk. Right, go eat, drinks, and presents because the joy of God is what gives you strength. Right, meaning you guys stuck around, you deserve to go party because you are, right, you are the stars here. Right, so now go enjoy your holiday. Okay, that's the story.
Mar is master.
Right, so Mar is a generic statement, right? Meaning now they're going back, now the Gemara wants to analyze the story. And the Gemara says, what was Relezer saying to them? Right?
Shemanim chai olam boskim v'chai shah. So those that were sort of in... who were like Osei in the like world to come,
they give up the world to come. They give up the world to come to be involved in Boskin Mechayeshah. Right, meaning they said Rabbi Elazar accused the people who left to go eat and not learn of giving up Olam Haba for Olam Hazeh, and now the Gemara says, really? V'hasimchat Yom Tov Mitzvahi. What do you mean? Isn't eating a meal on Yom Tov also a mitzvah? So how can you say they're leaving yeshiva to eat and that's a problem? So what is the answer? What does the Gemara answer?
So Rabbi Elazar, Mia, Damar, It's according to Rabbi Elazar's like reasoning. So like you would say that Simchas Yom Tov are Rishus. So that the Simchas of Yom Tov is optional. The Tanya, and now we're going to quote the Braisa to go show this is so. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, so Ein Lo Adam B'Yom Tov Ela Ochel V'Shoteh O Yosheva V'Shoneh. So it says you could either eat and drink all day, or you could learn all the day.
Right. Rabbi Elazar thinks there's two ways you could eat B'Yom Tov, however you want. Now, are those actually equivalent? That's not clear. Right? The Rishonim really spend a lot of time in Eliezer. Does he really mean that both are optional? Is one preferred? Okay, that's not our discussion for right now. And Rabbi Yeshua says...
It's like in halves.
Very good. Right? Chetzio Lashem.
Half to Hashem, half to you. So, Vishnam, Mikra Echad. So, the two of them, like, darshan it out from the same...
Mikra Echad darshan. Right? They derive it from the same pasuk. Right? Namely...
So, Chetuv Echad, so, Omer. So, in one source it says, Ezrat
La... Atzeret. Atzeret La Hashem Elokecha.
Atzeret La Hashem. So, a holiday to Hashem Elokecha. And so another source says, so it's Atzeres should be for you. So Akit of Rabbi Elazar.
Right. So how do you write? How do you have both a holiday for God and for you? So you have two possibilities. Rabbi Elazar says.
So Rabbi Elazar says like that it could be Okulav Lachem, Okulav Lachem.
Right. It's an either or.
Or all for yourself. Right. All for God. All for you or all for God. Yeshua Svar, okay, who kids up Hashem, kids up Lachem. So he says, do halfsies, part for you, part for God. So, my the ain nachon lo amar. So, why is this not correct?
No, my le no, that's a quote. My le nachon lo. What does the pasuk in Nehemiah mean when it says, send food le nachon lo to someone who didn't prepare food? Right, it's a quote. Le'ein nachon lo. It's from Nehemiah. So Amar of Chizda, lemisha lo aniach erev tafshilin. Right, it's someone who didn't give, put aside erev tafshilin, therefore he isn't allowed to cook. Okay, we'll stop there for now. So now this Gemara, right? Yeah.
Isn't it a contradiction when Rabbi Eliezer says that you have to either split it between the spiritual or the physical, and then even though he said that, he still sent the remaining students away.
Very good, very good. So as all the Rishonim note, it's clear that Rabbi Elazar doesn't literally mean 100%. He means mostly, right? Meaning he means it's not a fit split, but even Rabbi Elazar assumes that you shouldn't be fasting on the day. He just thinks that it's defined as a Yom LaHashem. But obviously you need some sort of meal, right? That's what the Rishonim assume he must mean. But you're right. It's not an obvious read of the Gemara at all, but you're sort of forced into that position. If you want, later we can sort of delve back into this Gemara Biyun on the nature of Simchat Yom Tov, but you're 100% right. That's one of the big clues that we've shown and pick up on, that Rilazar doesn't really mean what it sounds like he means. Okay. Now, what I want to focus on, though, in this Gemara, is that this Gemara is a central Gemara in terms of defining the nature of Simchat Yom Tov. And what... Now, the Gemara never says explicitly whether or not Simchat Yom Tov applies to Rosh Hashanah. Except, and this is where you got to be careful, right? What is its proof text? Right? Its proof text is... Oh, chat. Who's chatting me? Right, it could be, right, Rami could be right, that the point is that because Rabbi Elazar doesn't think you need, you know, it's either or, but it's not 100%, maybe that's why he's not angry with the people who left at the beginning of the morning, because if you left at the beginning of the morning, so you're taking the kula lachem. Okay, so you want a little bit of a shear on your you day. But maybe that's okay. It's only not okay to start the day lachem and then split, because then you're doing Rabbi Yeshua, which Rabbi Elazar doesn't believe in. It's possible that's what he means. Rami's definitely correct. That is a possible read of the Gemara. And again, that is something we'll have to come back to if we want to really define Simchat Yom Tov in general. I mean, if you want to, we can do that. I can, you know, that's fine. If you want to do that next, we can go to that next. I'm fine with that. But let's for a moment focus on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara never tells you explicitly whether or not there's Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. But what is the strong indication in this Gemara that Simcha does apply to Rosh Hashanah? It's the proof text. Right? It's the proof text, when Rabbi Eliezer wants to... The Gemara, by telling the story in the context of the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov, tells you that Rabbi Eliezer's instructions come from Nehemiah, and Nehemiah Perek Chet is Rosh Hashanah. That means that either this is happening on Rosh Hashanah, or more likely, Rabbi Eliezer thinks it's completely legitimate to invoke a pasuk about Rosh Hashanah for any other chag, which means that it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer believes that Rosh Hashanah is a chag with the simcha that it entails, and therefore Nehemiah's instructions are instructive on any holiday because they are conceptually equivalent or related, right? Or very substantively related. And therefore, you read the Gemara straight, it sounds like Rosh Hashanah as a mitzvah of simcha. Now, it's possible to parry this proof and say, no, he doesn't mean it literally, right? He's just quoting a pasuk, right? He's quoting a pasuk like in Asmachta or for... as a fun way or an educated way of telling people to go party. Maybe. Right? But the fact that he invokes a pasuk of Rosh Hashanah in the context of Simchat Yom Tov pushes in the direction that the answer to our question yesterday is yes, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, and yes, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. Okay. With that, we can now launch into the Machloket Rishonim. And as I said, this Machloket appears in many, many places. In the Rishonim, I just gave you the Rush and the Mordechai because those are the two that you can find in the back of your Gemara Rosh Hashanah if you chose to look at this inside. If you don't have a Rosh Hashanah or you want to look on the screen, that's fine. But let's turn to the Machloket. So the Rush in his Psakim quotes the following. Now, first of all, how many books did the Rush write? Let's just get some things out here on the table. The Rush writes Psakim, the Piskei Rush. What else does the Rush write? He also writes Tosfot, Tosfot HaRush. And he also writes Tshuvot, the Tshuvot HaRush. And his style is slightly different in each of the books. But this is the Piskei Rush, okay? So he first quotes the Ravya. Now who is the Ravya? Right? Katav Ravya. Now who's the Ravya? You are free to Google also. Even the act of Googling will help you remember who it is. Who's the Ravya?
Is that Eliezer Ben Yoel
Halevi? Very good. Eliezer Ben Yoel Halevi, right? Where is he from? Right? He's 1140 to 1220-ish, and he's from Germany. Right? He's a Bala Tosfot in Germany. Okay? So, he quotes, so we're talking, right, an earlier, a predecessor of the Rush. Okay. Anyone want to be brave enough to try the Rush here?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay, go.
Okay. From Katav Ravya?
Yeah, Katav Ravya.
Okay, Katav Ravya, Ravya writes, Shalti Rabotai, I asked my rabbi, Rosh Hashanah Shachal Liot B'Shabbat, if Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, Im Omri Motei Shabbat, if they say Motei Shabbat, and if they ask, todia is ask.
No, so vatodienu. Right? Remember? Do you remember on Motzei? On Motzei, when Yom Tov goes into when Shabbat goes into Yom Tov, so in Shmoneh Esrei you say Vatodienu, which is a sort of Havdalah, right? That's the paragraph, Vatodienu. It starts Vatodienu. Do you... Right?
Oh, it's a quote. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, here. Right? Do you guys remember ever saying this? Do you remember this, saying this? No? Here. Wikipedia. Right? Very helpful for you. But right? Vatodienu hi tfilat avdalah ham yu'edet l'tfilat arvit motzei shabbat. And that's what it is. Right? Okay. It's the right, the nusach is here. Right, Vatodienu Hashem Elokeinu mishpatei tzedkecha v'talamdeinu lazav chukei ritzonecha v'tanchileinu zmanei sason v'chagei nedava v'torishenu kedushat shabbat v'kavod u'moed v'chagigat haregel ben kedushat shabbat l'kedushat yom tov v'vdalta v'yom ha'shvili mishesh imei ha'maaseh kidashta. And the problem that the Ravya had is that one line. Is that it's a Havdalah that says you separated between a Chag and Shabbat. So what's his problem? It says Chag.
It's called a Chag.
It says Chag. Right?
Yeah.
So I said to my Rebbeim, do you say V'chagigat HaRegel V'Rosh HaShanah Lo Chag V'Lo Regel? Right? So he said to his Rebbeim, do you say the words in Tevilah? Chag v'regel on Rosh Hashanah. And what did my his Rebbeim tell him?
Vashivuni de'afal pi ken mitpalalin, that even though you daven v'todienu and you say v'todienu gihechi damrinan b'motzi yom tov b'avdala ben yom ha'shvi l'shetan ha'maaseh damrinan se d'avdala humona, it's a addition to it.
Right.
Humona achinam, it's also addition.
See there, tikkun humona. So what does he say? So he said, his Rebbeim answered, you say it, but let's be very careful. Why do you say it? Is it because it's a regel?
No.
No, it's just because that's the language of the tefillah. He said, don't get too worked up in the words. You're right, Rosh Hashanah is not a chag. It's not a regel. But it's that's the nusach of Havdalah. That's all. Don't worry about it too much. Okay? Meaning, according to the Rebbeim of the Ravya, is Rosh Hashanah a regular Chag?
No.
No. But you say the language anyways. But now he quotes Mar Sar Shalom. Who is Mar Sar Shalom? Well, his last name, if you had last names, is Gaon. Right? Mar Sar Shalom Gaon. He's one of the Gaonim. So sometimes he's quoted as Mar Sar Shalom Gaon. He's one of the Gaonim. So he quotes, Aval B'tshuvot Mar Sar Shalom Katuv. What does he say? What did the Gaonim say?
Aval B'tshuvot Mar Sar Shalom Katuv. B'Rosh Hashanah Hayomrim B'Shtei Yeshivot Ben...
Okay, what are the Shtei Yeshivot? What are the Shtei Yeshivot? These are two very specific... No, come on. Okay, history lesson again. Who are the Gaonim? What does the word Gaon actually mean?
The great ones.
That's what it literally means. But what does it mean, the title, yeah, not the word, the title Gaon? What does it mean?
The Amoraim.
Very good. They are the Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel, post-Talmud, but they're the Rosh Yeshiva of the same Yeshivot as the Amoraim. Because the Yeshiva of the Amoraim lasted for hundreds and hundreds of years after the Gemara. And the name that they gave to the Rosh Yeshiva was Gaon. And there are two Yeshivot, two main Yeshivot, and they are?
Sura and Pumbedita.
Thank you. Thank you, Gavi. Sura and Pumbedita. The Gaonim are the Rosh Yeshiva of Sura and Pumbedita. That's who they are. Right? That's what they are. They are the Rosh Yeshiva of the Talmudic Yeshivot post-Talmud. That's what they are. That's what the Geonate is. So, many of the Geonic Tshuvot start like this, which is, Ma Minhag Shtei Yeshivot. What do you do in Sura and Pumbedita? Or Sura and Pumbedisa, whatever you want. Right? Though I promise you that's not how they pronounce it in Sura and Pumbedisa. I'm sure not, but fine. Right? what is the minhag in Bavel? So Marsar Shalom Gaon, who is one of the Rosh Yeshiva, he said, Hayu omrim b'shtei yeshivot in Tzur and Pumbedita. What did they say? Bein b'tfilah. So he said, right, so now he says, forget v'todienu. He says, v'todienu is one thing. Maybe v'todienu, so you're not so makbid. But in tefillah on Rosh Hashanah and Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to come up with a language that reflects the nature of the day. So he says, bein b'tfilah, bein b'kdusha, right, both in Kiddush and in tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, what do you say? Mo'adim. Continue.
Mo'adim l'simcha, v'chagim l'zmanim l'son, et yom ha'zikon l'hazeh. Sha'arei katur, it's written over there. Ele mo'adim Hashem.
Bereish inyana, ubisof, probably inyana. Right? What's his proof? Marsar Shalom Gaon says, no! Rosh Hashanah is, you say, mo'adim l'simcha, chagim l'zmanim l'son. And what's his proof?
Wait, should I continue?
What's his proof? Shaharei Katuv. What is Katuv?
It's written over there.
Where? The Torah. Katuv. Eile Moadei Adonai Mikrai Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Otam B'Moadam. Right, this is the Pasuk, because God said so. Right? Now scroll up. That's why I gave you the whole parsha. Not to read it, but this is what he means. Here. Vaydaber Adonai al Moshe lemor. Daber ben Israel v'amarta lehem mo'adei Adonai shetigro otam mikrai kodesh. Eilehem mo'adai. These are the mo'adim. Dot, dot, dot. And what do you have in there? Shabbat, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and?
Rosh Hashanah.
And right here, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Vaydaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Bachodesh Hashvi'i, Bechad Lachodesh, Yelachem Shabbaton, Zichron Shua Mikra Kodesh. And then, what does he say? What is Bisof Inyana? This isn't very, right? This isn't like tricky. It's just you have to know what he means. Bereish Inyana is the Perek starts off, Eile Moadei Hashem. And what's the end of the inyan? The end of the section? Pasuk Mem Dalet. Vaydaber Moshe et Moadei Adonai el Pnei Yisrael. And therefore, Marsar Shalom Gaon says, there's not complicated lamdas here. What are you giving me a chakira? Is Rosh Hashanah a yantif, not a yantif, moed, not moed, mapitom? God opens the section and calls it a moed, puts Rosh Hashanah in the middle, and closes the unit with moed. What?
Why can't you argue that Shabbat is also a moed, though?
Yeah? Ah, very good. Very good. Very good, Gavi. So Gavi says, wait a second. There's a problem. Which is, Marsar Shalom Gaon makes a slight jump, which is, from Moed to what? To Chag. And he assumes that whatever is a Moed is a Chag, and anything with a Chag is a full mitzvah Simchat Yom Tov. But, as Gavi correctly points out, the first Moed is Shabbat. And if you really believe that, then you'd have to think that Shabbat is also a Chag. And is that true?
No,
it's not true. But, right? This is my, and that is going to be important to respond. But, for the moment, Marsar Shalom Gaon stakes out a position, and he says, Rosh Hashanah has full mitzvah Simchat Yom Tov, because it's written in the Parsha with all the other Chagim. It's called a Moed, therefore it's a Chag. Nafkamina number one, Tfilah. The language of Tfilah and Kiddush will reflect the fact that the nature of Rosh Hashanah is, it's a Chag. Right, Nafkamina number one. Okay, continue. Right, so again, that's all he meant. Bereish Inyana, Vesof Inyana is just what he continues to say. Vayidaber Moshe et Moadei Hashem. Meaning, Vikai Akol Inyana. Pesach Atzeret Rosh Hashanah Mikipurim V'Sukkot Shmini Atzeret. All he means is the pasuk, the psukim, the beginning and the end, call it Uktiv Zichron Shruam Mikra Kodesh. And Rosh Hashanah is called Zichron Shruam Mikra Kodesh. Right?
Vishaninu?
Yeah, okay.
Vishaninu Mishnah, and we see in the Mishnah above, and then they change in the Mishnah above, Al Shisha Hadashim Shluchim, Yotzim Chule. It's like Gemara saying a Mishnah about where they sent out messengers and they included the messenger even for Rosh Hashanah, including with all the other holidays.
Right, exactly. That's the key, is that we call it a Moed. Right?
Yeah.
And then...
Be'alul,
and now, okay, but now he's going to pull one more move. Okay? Because he's going to want to respond to Gavi. And he's going to say, but wait a second. So maybe you'll tell me that Rosh Hashanah is only a Moed, and that's not the same as Chag, that those are different. Not true. And he says, I got another pasuk for you. What's the other pasuk?
Be'alul b'bnei takanat ha'modot, maki yeshuch shashanah tzukot. He compares shashanah to Sukkot.
And then, here's the key, uminayin shenikra chag.
Uminayin shenikra chag, and where do we know that you call it chag? Shenemav v'kaseh liyom chagenu.
V'kaseh liyom chagenu. Very good. Where's that pasuk from?
Tehillim,
very good. Where in Tehillim? Thank you. It was this morning, Shir Shalyom, guys. It was this morning, Shir Shalyom. You read it this morning. It is Perek Pe Aleph Pasuk Daled. But yes, it is also this morning's Tefillah, so I would hope that you would remember it, but I see some guilty looks, so I'm going to assume that not everyone remembered that you said it this morning. I'll chalk it up to what's it called? I'll chalk it up to jet lag, but I put it at the end for you. Here we go. I'll just pull it up. I thought I did, but here is the pasuk. Okay. Why is it not working? Tehillim, Peidal, Pe'alef. You said it this morning, right? Lam Natzeh al Hagitit la Asaf. Harninu Elohim Uzenu, Aril Elohei Yaakov, Suhu Zimra Utnu Tov, Kinor Naim Imnavel, Tik'u Vachodesh Shofar, Bakese Liyom Chagenu. So he says, aha, you want to tell me that it's just a moed and not a chag, but you got another pasuk in Tehillim that calls it a chag. So Q E D, Rosh Hashanah is no, not Q E D. Come on, this is not Gemara language. It's no math, science, people. End of a proof in math and science. Q E D, no. Oh God, Q look. Q E D. Quad erat demonstratum. It's Latin. A notation which is often placed at the end of a mathematical proof to indicate its completion. Okay? Quad erat demonstratum. Okay? Okay. That's fine. Don't worry. Okay. So he proves it, and he says, look, it is a chag. So, what is the shayla? The pasuk in Vayikra tells you it's a moed, and the pasuk in Tehillim pushes you to tell you it's a chag. Therefore, it has simcha. Therefore, in Tefillah, you include the words. And he's following on several very strong positions in Chazal, which think that this pasuk is talking about Rosh Hashanah, right? And I gave you a few here at the end, right? Very quickly, but here in Beitza Tet Zayin, the continuation of the Gemara we're reading before, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Avahu, my kra." What is the pasuk? Tiku v'chodesh shofar liyom chagenu, ezehu chag shachodesh mitkasebo, heve omer ze Rosh Hashanah. The way Chazal understand this pasuk is that Rosh Hashanah is the Chag Mitkaseh, in which something is covered, which they understand is the moon being covered. Because since Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the month, the moon is still covered. Rosh Hashanah Davchet, you get this as well. Remind the Tishrei Udichtiv Tiku Bachodesh Shofar Bekesel Yom Chagenu, Ezu Chag, etc. Talmud Lomar Tiku Bachodesh Shofar Bekesel Yom Chagenu, Ezu Chag Shachodesh Mitkazeba, Eve Omer Ze Rosh Hashanah Vekama Rachmana Shofar. Right, you blow the shofar on the holiday, which is the only holiday which falls out on Rosh Chodesh, when the moon is covered, i.e. Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, the Marasar Shalom Gaon says, we have an answer to our question. Rosh Hashanah is a Chag and a Moed. There is a mitzvah of Simcha, and therefore it's reflected in Tefillah. End of story for Marasar Shalom Gaon. So, what do you guys think? Good proof? Bad proof? Strong argumentation by Marasar Shalom Gaon? Yeah, it's pretty ironclad there. Good. So, how would you counter? How would you counter? What do you have to do? Gavi gave us half the counter. Gavi negated the proof from Vayikra, which is to say, be careful. Vayikra never calls Rosh Hashanah a Chag, it calls it a Moed, and Shabbat is also a Moed. Right? So maybe Vayikra doesn't prove anything. Maybe Rosh Hashanah is a holiday, but not the same type of holiday as the Chagim, and therefore it won't have Simcha. Right? That negates Vayikra. What do you do with the Pasuk in Tehillim? How do you negate the Pasuk in Tehillim? You're all on mute trying to figure out how to answer this question, yeah? How do you do it?
We blow shofar other times besides Rosh Hashanah.
Good! Who says that? The Radak. Right? Which I gave you right here. Liyom Chagenu. Shehu Chag Min HaChagim HaYuduim Lanu. Right? Tikku B'Chodesh Shofar doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah. It means on some holiday. It's a generic statement. And then what would you have to do with all the Gemaras that understand this line about Rosh Hashanah? You have to say it's an asmachta. It doesn't really mean it. They're using it as a hint, but that's not pshat. It's not a chag. Rosh Hashanah is something else. It has some other chalos, or chalot, or status, or take whatever word you want. It's something else. It's a moed, but it's not a chag. Right? And you'd have to negate that. Okay? So let's go back now to the Rush. Okay, back to the Rush. But this is the proof, right? The proof of Marasar Shalom Gaon is in Vayikra, it sounds like it's the equivalent of the Chagim, and in Tehillim, it sounds like it's a Chag according to Chazal. If you want to counter it, you need to say it's something else, and we're going to have to figure out what that is, right? It's not a Chag, but it is a Moed. What is that, right? What is that? Come up with some status and please define it for me. I don't know yet. And you're going to have to parry the pasuk in Tehillim the way the Radak does, which is to say it's more generic. It doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah. It means holidays in general. It doesn't mean Chag formally. Or it doesn't mean Rosh Hashanah. And then you're going to also have to deal with Nehemiah and say, okay, it's, I don't know. It was only that Rosh Hashanah which was a holiday. I don't know. Okay? Let's try to at least get a little bit more here. So that he says, Uminayin shenikra simcha. Yeah, how do you know that it's simcha shenemar? Uviyom simchatchem uvimoadechem. Urashe chatchechem v'amarmar sukana, etc. Chatchechem keitza zerosh hashana. And then his third proof is Nehemia, which he calls Ezra because really it's all one book. V'gam b'sefer Ezra matzinu shayu bochim b'shuvam min agola. They were crying. V'amar lahem Ezra ki kadosh hayom l'adoneinu v'amar echlu madanim ushtu mantakim kidei shetiyeh hashana shmeina u'mituka alechem v'shul manot l'inachunno. Go party v'darshu raboteinu. And he says, unless you think that the Pasuk Nehemiah doesn't prove that it has a mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov, proof that it's not true is the Gemara in Beitza that invokes the Pasuk Nechemya in the context of the mitzvah of Simchat Yom Tov. Lumi, right? That's why I gave you the Zoras. Vidarshu Rabotenu Zal Beitza Tedvav. And now he says, Chazal of Adrasha, Lemi Shelo Enich Eruvei Tavshilin. But he says, what's the pshat according to Marsar Shalom Gaon? Pshato Shel Mikra. What's the pshat? Why did people not have food? And this is an amazing move by Marsar Shalom Gaon. He says, why did people not have food on Rosh Hashanah in the time of Nehemiah?
They were fasting?
Yes, because the machloket of whether Rosh Hashanah was a chag or not was the machloket, the people crying, and Nehemiah. Right? And Nehemiah gets up and says, you know those people who thought Rosh Hashanah isn't a chag, so they didn't cook yesterday because they were planning on fasting? Send them food because they were conceptually wrong. You gotta send them food because they're wrong. It's a chag. Meaning, this isn't just a machloket God and the malachim in the Gemara, right? In this, so to speak, right? It's a machloket the people in time of Nehemiah paskins. And now, let's just bring up his second conceptual nafkamina. And he says, nafkamina number two. Nafkamina number one was the language of tefillah and kiddush. Nafkamina number two, mikan she'ein, she'ein mit'anin b'Rosh Hashanah. Nafkamina number two, do not fast on Rosh Hashanah. Right? So these are his two conceptual nafkaminas. And again, as I told you yesterday, I wanted you to closely read the Rush. Because you see that the Rush is quoting Marsar Shalom Gaon. He's going through the conceptual questions, but he's telling you to fully understand it. You need to carefully understand Vayikra Chav Gimel, Nehemiah Perek Chet, Tehillim Pei Dalet, and the use of Chazal of all of those in Beitza Tedvav, Beitza Tedzayin, Rosh Hashanah Chav Chet, Rosh Hashanah Lamed Dalet. Right, you need to be able to take all those together and figure out what the answer is. So, and he says the nafkamina, the implications that will prove the conceptual point, he has two: the language of tefillah and whether you can fast on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I guess what we'll do then on Sunday is look at the other side, which is how would you, right, defend the other side? And as we said, the answer is going to have to be, I thought we'd be done in 2 days, but we won't. That's fine. As long as it takes for us to do this carefully. I do want to say you guys have been excellent at reading and analyzing these texts. It's, you know, and I want you to see how the close reading here, right, it's, in order to fully understand the conceptual moves they're making, you need to read carefully, but you also need to understand the psukim that they're drawing on and the gemaras they're drawing on. Okay? So what we'll pick up with is the other side of the equation, right? Now you have seen the staked out position that, yes, there is Simcha, and therefore, just to remind us where we were, how would you have to read the Gemara that we started with in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Bet? Then why don't you say Hallel? Not because there isn't Simcha, but because Hallel requires a particular type of Simcha that is unadulterated, or doesn't have Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Metim Ptuchim Lefanecha. Right? Meaning, the Chiddush in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, according to this analysis, is in Hallel and not in Simcha. Because the conclusion is there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Right? So when God says, nevertheless, you don't say Hallel, the assumption that's being rejected is not, is there or is there not mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? It's whether, does every Simcha imply Hallel? And the answer is no, not every Simcha implies Hallel. Okay. We'll pick up with the second position then on Sunday. Again, if you can get through the Rush, that'll be great. You'll see the second side. I do think we can do this in one more day, because after that, the rest of the sources, I don't care if you read them inside or not. I have a few other nafkaminas for you. But our goal is going to be to analyze the other side, and as I said, come up with a formulation that would somehow explain if Rosh Hashanah is not a chag, then, but it isn't Parshat HaMoedot, then what is that middle category, right? We have to come up with a new conceptual model to explain Rosh Hashanah according to the those who dispute Marasar Shalom go. Okay, so you guys, I'm already holding you from the next year. I don't even know who that is today, but I'll let you go. Really great job today, guys. And we'll pick up here on Sunday and hopefully finish this on Sunday, okay?